Previously on Coffee with Kenobi.
Hey, Samsung announced today that they are launching a Star Wars limited edition PowerBot robot vacuum called the VR7000. The Vader VR7000 will include Wi-Fi connectivity and have a remote control, according to the press release.
Right. I'm throwing a flag. You can't talk. I'm throwing a flag in the air saying, are you kidding me with this? This is absurd. I love it.
This is James Arnold Taylor, and you're listening to Coffee with Kenobi. I have a good feeling about this.
Hello and welcome to show number 93 of Coffee with Kenobi, your spoiler-free place for Star Wars discussion, analysis, and rhetoric. I'm your host, Dan Z, drinking some coffee in my bright orange CWK mug, ready to jump into some Star Wars conversation. We hope to make you think about Star Wars in a whole new way, and maybe laugh a little bit in the process. On today's show, we will talk about the official title for the Han Solo movie, as well as look at the first two episodes of Star Wars Rebels, Heroes of Mandalore, Parts 1 and 2. We'll check in with Jason Brame on Forces of Destiny and upcoming comics, CWK newsman Tom Gross will bring us the latest Star Wars news, and in the coffee chat, we will continue our CWK book study on Leia, Princess of Alderaan, with chapters 16 to 22. So pull up a chair, grab your favorite coffee mug, and let's have some coffee with Kenobi.
And now, let's see what's brewing in the Star Wars universe this week.
As we get closer and closer to December 15th in the world premiere of The Last Jedi, Episode 8 in the Star Wars saga, we have some exciting things coming from Coffee with Kenobi that we have planned as far as how to celebrate, where we're going to be for the first showings of the film, and other events going on in our local area and beyond. Look for details on that coming very soon in the next couple of weeks. And I need to make a correction for the CWK coffee break. I had said at the beginning of our show number 92, that it was called the CWK coffee chat, and that must have just been ingrained into my head from all the coffee chat shows we did. But I did correct it at the end of show 92, and I'm also making sure that the beginning of this show number 93, the new project coming out is CWK coffee break. And that will make much more sense very soon. I'm hoping to have some of the things ironed out that we have so that we can make this new iteration of Coffee with Kenobi the very best it can be. This will be something that is in addition to our CWK podcast, the website, and our CWK family of shows. It's going to be a brand new way to enjoy listening to Coffee with Kenobi, and we're really excited about it. I also want to point you to our YouTube channel, where we do a Pozu shoe review of the Black Resistance sneaker that Pozu was kind enough to send me a few weeks ago. I had a lot of fun filming that, and I'm curious to see what you think about these awesome pieces of footwear. And normally this is where we do our CWK book study, but these things are becoming so much fun and so engrossing, but they also are taking a lot of time. So we're going to move that and keep those in the coffee chat until we finish this one and the Phasma book. Joining us today for a cup of coffee is CWK media specialist Lisa Dullard. Welcome, Lisa.
Hello.
It is so awesome to have you on the show. In fact, I was telling Tom today that you were going to be on. He's like, oh, really? I think a lot of people are going to be really excited because they know you so well from Twitter and all the amazing things you do on the website. So it's cool to have you on the show.
Oh, thank you very much.
You bet. You bet. You are appreciated, as is our next guest. Now, this is his third appearance on the show, but the other two have been live shows for Star Wars Reads Day. I'm talking, of course, about the owner of Zeke's Comics and Games, Zach Kalina. Welcome, Zach.
Thank you, sir. Thank you for having me.
You bet, man. You bet. And it's kind of been a running joke every time I come in to pick up my books. You say, when am I coming on again?
Yeah, well, you know, busy man, small business, you know.
Small business, but a great business, which we'll talk about that a little bit later. So this was a huge week for Star Wars because we got the answer to the seemingly unanswerable question, what is the title of the untitled Han Solo movie? And we get our title. It is Solo, a Star Wars story. Now, before you both weigh in, I did a poll on Twitter for this on our Coffee with Kenobi page, and I just wanted to see what the buzz would be like. And it was a decent amount of people who answered. We had, 104 votes, and the three options were I love it, cool but anticlimactic, or I waited for this? Which do you think won?
B.
I think I waited for this.
B is correct. I Love It was 19%. Cool but anticlimactic was 56%. And I Waited for This was 25%. Now, it sounds like, am I right, Lisa, that you guessed the one that you voted for?
Yeah. Okay. It's cool but anticlimactic.
Okay, tell me why. Because it sounds like, because I voted I Love It. And Zach, I'm guessing, voted I Waited for This.
I do love the title, but when I heard Solo, it was just sort of, okay, Solo. I mean, I don't know what else they would have gone with. If Solo is the only thing that really makes sense, a lot of the other things I saw, suggestions that people made online, were very obscure, and you have to kind of make the title something that will appeal to not just diehard Star Wars fans, but to the general public too. And Solo just sort of screams, it's about Han Solo.
Right. So. Right. Zach, what do you think?
Well, I think, you know, from previous conversations with me, I'm out of all the Star Wars announcements, this is the one thing I'm not behind. So I don't feel it didn't weigh on me in any way, shape or form. I think that it's a simple choice by the studio. It can be easily recognizable. Could you have gone with something maybe Han Solo, a smuggler's adventure, or something silly like that? Maybe could have been a little bit more catchy. But, you know, like I said, from the get-go from this film, I was never on board with it. So for me, it didn't matter left or right on it.
Oh, I didn't know that. Why were you not on board with it?
I personally just feel there are certain things in the Star Wars universe that don't need to be touched. And I think Han's story is 4, 5, 6, and 7, and you can do so much in between. I think personally, as a fan, I have no interest in knowing who he was before episode 4. I always looked at him as a smuggler. They found him in a bar. He was a pirate. They got him on the ship. Next thing you know, he becomes one of the biggest galactic heroes of all time. I think that to me is the story that I care about.
No, I like that. I think that's extremely valid, and I don't fault you for your logic at all. Lisa, what about you? What do you think about that?
No, I'm looking forward to it. I'm interested to see what they do and how Alden does stepping into Harrison Ford's younger shoes.
Right.
So I'm excited about it. I mean, there are other options out there that I wouldn't be so excited about, but Han Solo, I'm looking forward to it.
This is we talked about this on an earlier show, but for some, this is a huge risk, and for some, it seems to be a no-brainer. For me, I mean, I guess it could be risky, but the amount of time and the different things that have, of course, famously gone into this film make me think it's going to be a win. And I was thrilled with this title because I love the beautiful simplicity of it, and I also like that it makes a statement. Like, you wouldn't come out with a James Bond movie that just said Bond. It always is a James Bond film. Now, the title rarely mentions the character's name. In fact, it never mentions the character's name. So, in a way, this is a minor risk. Now, obviously, the marketing, people will very much know that it's a Star Wars film. It does say a Star Wars story. But honestly, I don't know what else it could be. There's a lot of power in it, because anything else would have sounded a little extravagant or a bit hyperbolic, I think. You know, Han Solo and the magical lasso of monkeys. I don't know what they would say.
You're reaching on that one.
You're getting into Indiana Jones territory.
Exactly. And I think maybe that was part of the decision.
Yeah.
You know, and a lot of people have also sort of been questioning and wondering, why did it take so long to bring out something that's just one word? And for me, I think it's, well, they finally wrapped shooting after having to do a lot of major reshoots, basically shooting the entire film over again, basically. And so they couldn't do it until they had everything taken care of. Plus, you know, Lucasfilm knows marketing. This was the right time to release it because they've got to focus on The Last Jedi. So to me, that's, I don't think it was so bad that we waited so long. I actually kind of enjoyed the wait.
Yeah.
So let's move on to the very first few episodes of season 4 of Star Wars Rebels, Heroes of Mandalore. Now, before we jump into this, I'm going to read an email we got from a listener's name. He just wrote his name as Shay, and he said, I love how this episode showed Kanan finally free from the depression that had been hanging over him since the beginning of season 3. Don't get me wrong, we got some great moments from him last season, and he really grew in his trust and use of the Force because of everything he went through. But it always saddened me how reserved and drawn in he acted, even as he progressed past his initial fears and doubts caused by his new blindness. He acted so solemn all of the time. While it's good to see him begin to see some of that wise old master air about him as he deepened his connections to the Force, the showiness and sass he always carried with him throughout the first two seasons were what made him, many of us, love him so much. Heroes of Mandalore gave us a great balance between these two personalities. Though he still thinks deeply about everything he does, and is often the voice of reason among the team, we also saw a bit of that old cowboy Jedi way peeking back in. His amazing jumps and saber moves through the battle scenes, his occasional smart replies to the Imperials, and that lightness in his tone when things were a little less intense, all made me so happy to see him finally coming back. Maybe one of the best examples of this was his conversation with Hera early on in the episode. A little short, you could quickly pick up on the teasing, not quite flirting, thing he was doing that we haven't seen from him in a long time. And I also love the lighthearted moments with Ezra. I think a lot of people are trying to pass those off and roll their eyes at him because they think they were goofy or cheesy, but I personally love finally seeing a little more silliness around when many times in Season 3, the heaviness of everything going on made it feel almost hard to breathe. Well, Shay, thank you for that. A very good opening to this conversation. The first episode of this I saw at Celebration Orlando, and it was the Kanan part along with the very, very end of the first episode that stood out to me the most. Lisa, what about you?
Oh, the Kanan and Hera, definitely. I love that. Kanan's my favorite character on Star Wars Rebels, and it was really nice to see him sort of seem lighter this season, yeah. You know, in the opening episode. It seemed a little bit lighter. He was, like the email said, he was a little flirty, little teasy with Hera, and, you know, it was nice to see that. It was a nice way to start off. The episode as a whole, the two episodes, were a good way, I think, to start off the season, which I think is going to get pretty dark.
I do too.
Pretty quickly. So this was a nice light sort of entry into season 4.
Oh, I agree. And the thing about this with Kanan, at least in the first episode, I really like that he seems in control. And we haven't really seen that. He doesn't seem as, you know, I don't really ever seem anxious, but you could always tell there was a part of him that was a little concerned about what was going to happen because of what he went through, you know, through Order 66. And now then he had a Padawan and lost his sight. And when he lost his sight, it seems like he was able to maintain a little more inner focus, very much like a blind samurai would be. So that was cool. But probably the highlight of these first two episodes is Sabine. We waited a very long time to see what makes her tick. And I think these two episodes really flesh her out and show you what kind of a leader and what kind of a person she is.
Oh, absolutely.
Now, how are you on Mandalorian culture? What do you think about Mandalore?
I'm not a big Mandalorian fan. I don't dislike the Mandalorians, but they're not my thing. But I do like the way that they've brought Sabine, her background and her culture into this arc that they've done over the last two seasons. I think they've really, her character has grown so much. And I've come to appreciate the Mandalorians probably a little bit more watching Sabine grow.
Sure. I agree. In fact, that's pretty much exactly how I feel about it too. I mean, I've always been sort of ambivalent to them. I know that Mandalorians have a huge following because of Boba Fett primarily and the Mandalorian mercs. So I appreciate it and I like learning more about it, but I think Sabine is by far the most interesting Mandalorian, as is Bo-Katan, of course, and she has some really nice moments. We won't spoil anything here, and I also want to be clear that, of course, Rebels Reactions with Aaron Harris as the host is where they do the really deep dives in the Rebels, so be sure to download that one because it should be coming out very soon. But there's a lot to like. Now, Zach, how are you on Boba Fett? What do you think of him?
Of Boba Fett?
And Mandalorians in general.
Well, I mean, most of my Mandalorian knowledge was thrown away in the expanded universe. And most of it I had ever known was during the Knights of the Old Republic video game era. But Boba Fett in general has always been a character that I think that most of the audience just wants to know more of, because you don't get much with them. You get a few scenes. If you buy the extended edition DVDs, you get a few, you know, a little bit more tidbits with them. But he doesn't have much to say. He doesn't do much besides stand there and fall into a Sarlacc pit. So I think when you have when you have the opportunity to do shows like Rebels and, you know, some of the more expanded novels and stuff, you know, those are characters that can you can really dive in a lot deeper and spend some time getting to know more.
Oh, yes, for sure. For sure. So we've definitely got you covered on Rebels with Rebels Reactions, as I mentioned, Aaron's podcast. And then Craig Dickinson does Rebels Reconnaissance, which is a detailed review on the website. And then I have Star Wars Rebels Talking Points, where I just sort of hit different highlights of things that I think you should look for when you're watching the show.
I've kept up with Rebels up until about season two. I kind of fall in and out because, you know me, with running the shop.
Yeah,
you're busy. I have my hands in so many different things, and Rebels is on that bucket list of nerd things that I need to get back involved with. But when the big arcs happen, the big events, I tend to catch those episodes, the Ahsoka episodes, the Obi-Wan and Darth Maul. So, you know, I still keep up and track with those things.
Sure.
Just because they have a little bit more near and dear meaning to my heart from the Clone Wars and obviously the movies.
Right. Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, they definitely have made this into something even more than I think we ever would have dreamed, because we knew we missed the Clone Wars and we didn't want it to end, and we knew we were going to be fine with Rebels, but it has really become a near and dear to our Star Wars hearts, I would say.
I think that it's gone farther than what anybody ever thought it was when it was announced. I never once thought we were going to touch on all these different aspects of the Star Wars universe in the way that it has.
Oh, I agree. Lisa, and you're a huge Rebels fan, of course.
Oh, yeah, yeah. And for a kid's show, it gets pretty deep. So there's a lot there that grown-ups can enjoy. It's a great show. They've done a fantastic job.
Yes, I agree. I agree very much. So we will take our first break, and when we come back, we're going to talk about Forces of Destiny and upcoming Star Wars comics. This is Coffee with Kenobi.
This is Coffee with Kenobi. Oh, pass the cream, would you?
Coffee with Kenobi is sponsored by Penguin Random House Audio. Looking to catch up on the latest Star Wars books? Try listening to them on audio. Featuring sound effects and music directly from the movies, Star Wars audiobooks are the definitive listening experience. From brand new audiobooks such as Phasma and Battlefront 2 Inferno Squad to our blockbuster movie tie-in editions, you'll have plenty to keep you entertained. Visit PenguinRandomHouseAudio.com/Star Wars for sample clips and to start listening now. Coffee with Kenobi is also sponsored by the Star Wars Digital Card Trader Collecting App from Topps. If you love Star Wars and love the excitement of chasing your favorite Star Wars collectibles, the Star Wars Digital Card Trader Collecting App from Topps is for you. Download the free app from iTunes or Google Play and collect your favorite images from the classic 1977 Star Wars cards to the Clone Wars, Star Wars Rebels, The Force Awakens, Rogue One, The Last Jedi, and much more. Collect and trade with friends new and old through the Star Wars Digital Card Trader Collecting App from Topps. These are the cards you're looking for. And if you're finding yourself thinking, how can I help Coffee with Kenobi out? I really like this show and I want to do my part. Well, we appreciate that and we appreciate you. And one of the ways you can do that is to be a CWK Patreon contributor. And I want to give a special shout out right now to our CWK Patreon contributors, including Tyler Wiggins, Ben Elkington, Dennis Keithley, Angela Souse, Aaron Harris, Jason Hall, Mediocre Jedi, Connie Shee, Terry Lee, BJ Smith, Nick Deco, Adam Leonard, Jim Capron, Mark Suter, Mike Audette, Eric Struthers, Jared Cantor, and Swara Sala. The Patreon page is something that helps us out in a lot of ways, including producing our show and distributing it through the RSS feed, which is how you send your show to different podcast catchers like iTunes and Google Play, etc. It also helps with the equipment and the upkeep. In fact, I just had to buy a new microphone recently because the last one I had crashed. So thanks to CWK's Patreon contributors, that was a lot easier for me to make that happen. And I thank you all so much for that. if you contribute, because there are different levels you can contribute and there are different rewards that come with this, for $5 or more a month, you can get a special mention on the show like you just heard, and we will follow you on social media. And you also become a member of the CWK Discord community, which is basically a message board that's exclusive to just our CWK Patreon contributors. For $10 a month or more, you also have the same things I just mentioned. Plus, you can set up your own Discord text channels, and you get more insights and different access to different posts that we have. 35 more a month, 50 a month, and more. The contributions go on and on. But the more you contribute, the more opportunities you have. You can get coffee mugs, CWK t-shirts. You can also, by the way, get a chance to co-host a show with us, depending on how much you contribute. And be sure to check out our webpage and go to the Patreon page to see the incentives and see the opportunities for you, because as I mentioned, you can not only host the show with me, but you could do it one time, twice in 1 month, or you could do the entire month, all four shows with me in 1 month and another guest host. And that's really fun. One of the best things about the show is being able to meet and talk with and converse with each of you. And this is one way to guarantee that's going to happen. So be sure to check out our links on the webpage or the show notes for more information. We're back, and it is time to bring Jason Brain back to the show. Jason, welcome back. What do you have for us from Star Wars canon?
It's always a pleasure to be here. My once a month cameo appearance on the Coffee with Kenobi is something I look forward to. But, you know, it's Star Wars canon realm has been very interesting. I think we're all looking forward to The Last Jedi coming out. So in terms of like grandiose, exciting things happening, I think that's what we're looking forward to. But we can't remiss that at the beginning of the month, we had the release of four new shorts from the Forces of Destiny series over the YouTube. We got four more coming out at the end of the month, which I'm always excited about these. And if I can take a moment to say perhaps the coolest one from a canon perspective on this was the Teach You I Will, which was the Yoda Anakin Ahsoka one, where she's learning how to use her two lightsabers. It's actually like they're like, oh, we might as well explore this. That's kind of cool.
I agree. That was my favorite of those four.
Mm-hmm. It's always great when they can use these 2 or 3 minute short featurettes to answer a question or show us something that we've wondered about. And we've talked before on the show, do we really need this much detail? But I think this is something that we were genuinely curious about and wanted to see, that there was a time when she had to make the choice to bring in the second saber, and that it wasn't just a natural thing, that she learned to do it. And it, you know, Yoda and Anakin were both instrumental in that piece.
Because that just sort of happens. I believe it was in season 2 of the Clone Wars, where she had the two blades all of a sudden. And so at least that gives you sort of an idea of where this falls in the timeline. And I'm sure you heard me talking with Sarah Woloski and Jared Cantor about these four. I wasn't really crazy about the one with Han Solo that took place during the Force Awakens timeline. What did you all think about that one?
I like that one. What do you mean you didn't like it?
It was you know, why did we, something that monumental where the Falcon was about to blow up, that should have been in the movie if it was that important to tell that story.
Don't worry, Lisa. Him and I argue all the time.
Yeah, boy.
It's not really an argument if I win. I mean, come on. No, I mean, I mean, you have to listen to my comments on that show. But I mean, I liked it fine, but I just thought, okay. I just feel like, you know, Teach You I Will. That to me is what this show is when it's at its strongest, because there is something valuable that doesn't drastically, you know, coexist with something else happening during one of the movies. I mean, when you're messing with the canon and the timeline, that's one thing. But to insert something major into a plot point of that's set during one of the movies, I think that's a pretty slippery slope that you probably shouldn't broach too often.
Yeah, I'll give you that one was probably the best of the four. But the Han Solo one was fun. It was fun.
Jason?
I try not to be too judgmental about the stories because I take them for what they are when they come. But if I were to venture an opinion, I would have to say that one was the most surprising. I don't want to say unsettling, but it did feel like and they do this a lot with the storytelling, right? They try to find a point in the film where they can genuinely insert something that's not going to destroy collide. The whole story.
Yeah.
Collide with anything. And that seemed one of those spots. I personally feel like there's, you know, the Force of Destiny is about the female heroines. I feel like there's more they can do with Rey that they didn't have to mess with that point.
Yes. That's what I'm trying to articulate.
There you go.
Yeah.
You're welcome.
Well, thank you. That's why you're on the show.
Well, I don't know about that, but.
So what else is going on?
Well, you know, of course, everybody, I think Del Rey has done a very good job of telling everyone that from a certain point of view, which is by far the talk of the novel town right now. But that kicked off an interesting set of books that we're going to be seeing leading up to The Last Jedi and beyond. We've got The Legends of Luke Skywalker. We've got Canto Bight. Two collection of short stories. And it's really interesting that they've gone back to that medium, the collection of short stories to add color without, I think these are safe for them. These are ways that they can add to something that we're going to see without destroying the narrative. I mean, I'm really looking forward to Legends of Luke Skywalker. I think it's going to be a lot of fiction in fiction. Yes. I don't think we're going to find out too much. You know, I think we're going to read it and then watch the film and say, none of this is actually really true. But I'm intrigued by that idea. And the same with Canto Bight. That feels very much like the aliens that Landry Q. Walker put out before The Force Awakens.
That is one of my favorite books of the new canon. I love how that was designed and orchestrated and plotted out. I thought it was brilliant. So I'm hoping that'll be like that with Canto Bight. But when the Luke Skywalker book comes out early November, right?
Last day of October on Halloween.
Okay, good. I know Lisa's super excited for that because you're a huge Luke Skywalker fan.
Oh yeah. He's my boy.
That's going to be terrific. I think that's going to be as Arthurian as anything because of the many different myths of King Arthur, and you never really know which one is the, quote, correct one. So that's going to be fun. And that sort of brings us back to what we said before about Force of Destiny. You can't really do too much because we've only, at this point, as of today's recording, only have one movie to talk about these brand new characters. So they have to be very careful about what they do because obviously they want to save the major stuff for The Last Jedi.
Yeah. I mean, as far as Luke Skywalker, we've only seen, we saw his appearance in the Shattered Empire comics and then mentions through a Bloodline, right? And those are really, right. and so it's he's such a mystery. I know they want to keep it that way, and it's really apparent by some of the post Last Jedi stuff that's coming out. Of course, the Storms of Krayt is really going to be a great one shot that's coming out a couple weeks after the Last Jedi. Hopefully we'll be able to start telling some of these actual stories of Luke Skywalker post Return of the Jedi that I think we all want to see. I'm pretty. And if I can theorize, I'm expecting an announcement after The Last Jedi that the next animated series from Dave Filoni is going to be about Luke Skywalker.
Oh man, I had never thought.
I'm just going to put that out there right now.
All right. Well, if that's correct,
bold move.
that would be amazing. That would be amazing.
I think the Luke Skywalker's Jedi Academy is a perfect story realm for him.
Ooh, boy! I don't know whether to scratch my head that you violated our speculation policy or to throw confetti in the air because that sounds awesome.
You've got to speculate sometimes. That's half the fun of being a fan.
That's what you keep telling me,
and I keep having great conversations that way.
I mean, sorry. So on December 15th, we have Chewie and the Porgs. Let's not forget that.
Oh, I can't wait for that. That's going to be cute. Lisa, I think that Lisa likes Porgs as much as we all like Pepsi Fire. Is that fair to say?
Porgs. I love Porgs.
Right?
I have a whole bunch of Porgs sitting here looking at me right now.
Yeah, Lisa's Instagram has a lot of fun Porg pictures.
Oh, man.
That is a sentence I've never said in my life. Okay, here we are.
I'm addicted to Porg.
They're pretty cute. Once they come out and we actually... I mean, it was fun. On the Star Wars Topps Digital Card Trader Collecting app, thank you to our sponsor, they were the first ones to showcase what a Porg sounds like. And then, of course, in the trailer, we got to hear the actual noise of one panicking in the cockpit with Chewbacca. Which, by the way, I've taken a... I've had a lot of people say, Dan... Chewbacca was not CGI in the trailer because Rian Johnson said so. And that is true. But he said that, and that came out on Twitter after we recorded that episode. So I did not have a time machine to edit that out. I still think it looks like CGI, but I mean, I still, what do you think? Do you think it looked like CGI?
I didn't really notice anything odd when I watched the trailer. It didn't, nothing jumped out at me. It just looked like Chewie. Just, I don't know.
Huh. You got distracted by the Porg.
It's like a stylized thing they're going with now for this. Everything looks very crisp, I guess is the way I describe it.
Yeah.
So it made a lot of people second guess because when you do Star Wars, you have to do CGI. There's no way you can't get around it without using some. But no, I not for one second did I go, oh my goodness, that's CGI. No.
Really? Even the eyes? Huh. Watch it again and think about that. Try to ignore the cute Porg for one second.
Maybe the eyes. Yeah, maybe the eyes, probably. That wouldn't shock me.
That was it. But, I mean, it's just all the actor whose name... how do you pronounce his name? Anyone know?
It's Jonas is the first name. I'm not going to try the last name. But no, Jonas is the first name.
Okay, yeah. He's a very cool guy. And, I mean, taking on that character after following... You know, Peter Mayhew, that's monumental because Peter Mayhew's eyes tell such a story. So for Jonas to take that over and do a wonderful job, I mean, to me it says something that when you see The Force Awakens, at first you don't even realize it's not Peter Mayhew. I think that's great. Mm-hmm. So you had alluded to an upcoming comic book. Tell us about that and what else is coming out from comics. And Zach, I want you to weigh in on this as well.
Yeah. So, of course, with far as The Last Jedi goes, we're currently finishing up the Phasma miniseries right now. Storms of Crate, as well as they just announced DJ is going to be getting a one-shot, who is the Denis Villeneuve's character. From The Last Jedi, so we'll get a little backstory of him a month after the film. But, you know, to tie it back to the canon world, anybody who's following the Star Wars series in a couple of very short issues, they're going to go back to the planet of Jedha. So we're going to bring Rogue One back into the fold, into the post A New Hope era. So it's gonna be great to make that connection in comic form as well. I think there's just a lot of great stuff they're doing in that medium, and I can't wait to see how they explore more of it.
Zach, what's the buzz like around the shop for these titles coming out and just Star Wars comics these days in general?
They're the simplest way to put it is everything that comes out is generally high quality, even if it's not going to advance a lot of – how do I put this? If they can put out a story that if it doesn't even advance much more than a few, you know, quick stories about Han, Luke, Leia – and what have you, they're still high quality. And you can't say that a lot about a lot of comic books because there's sometimes it's okay to have some breathing room when you're reading certain books. But Star Wars has been really pumping out these 4- and 5-part miniseries and these one shots. I know Star Wars is getting a new creative team here next month. And, you know, I've never heard anybody complain about a single Star Wars book. I mean, there's certain ones that people aren't as excited about as another one. But in general, everybody seems to be very, very accepting of it. And personally, somebody like me who never knew anything about Phasma in any regard or any interest have been reading that book and been finding it very, very interesting.
Yeah, that book has certainly taken that character in some very interesting ways. Lisa, you love Phasma as well, I know. How do you like the comic book series?
I haven't read it yet. I fall a little bit behind. I have them. I fall a little bit behind on my comic book reading, though. But I did read the book, Phasma.
Right. And so how that counts? What did you think of that? Are your review as well as the review for From a Certain Point of View are certainly available on coffeewithkenobi.com and are excellent, by the way.
Thank you. Yeah, I like Phasma. I do. I think the book did a really nice job of it didn't go in the way that I thought it was going to go. It was kind of a surprising story. It wasn't her origin story was unusual, but I enjoyed it. I thought it really gave a lot of depth to her character, explained a lot of maybe her motivations in The Force Awakens for why she sort of rolled over a little easily there with dropping the shields and stuff. She's kind of in it for herself, not necessarily the First Order, but I think she's cool. Gwendolyn Christie helps a great deal too, because yes, she's pretty awesome. Yeah, sure. So
do we have any idea what's going to be coming out shortly after The Last Jedi?
In terms of anything?
Just comics, because Zach, you had mentioned something that is in a catalog that you have.
Well, my catalog, I mean, we only get to know up till December, and pretty much with Storm's Crate, the Darth Vader run, Aphra's still running, we have Mace Windu is wrapping up, which means that they'll be getting primed to probably announce anywhere between 1 to 3 new titles, usually in between there. One-shots and stuff. I did see something that's not in the next couple months, but it is going out next year. It's in April next year. They're doing a 40th anniversary hardcover, and it's basically a deluxe edition that collects everything from cover art, but all this cover art is basically retelling the story of A New Hope, and it's from, I guess, the entire comic industry's artists and stuff, so it's something that's very exciting. I'm looking forward to that. It's 160 pages, so.
Wow, mark me down for that.
I already did. So, but awesome. They've also, you know, they're putting out some more Legends graphic novels, so they still keep that going. And they've got, you know, they always are pumping something out. If another series is ending, they've got another one ready to start.
Yeah. I mean, you've got to expect the, you know, the Jedi of the Republic series. They're probably going to keep rotating through after Mace Windu is done and start picking up on some others. But I think after The Last Jedi, if anybody recently, Amy Ratcliffe sat down with Michael Sanglin over at StarWars.com, and they talked about the Star Wars publishing efforts. And if you read between the lines, it does feel like there's a lot of stuff in the works that they just don't even want to talk about right now because of the secrecy behind The Last Jedi. So I think we're going to see some new books, new comics and everything start popping up here in the next month or two for a February or March release.
I agree.
They play it close to the chest. They really do. And Dan, you and I have talked about it before, about some of the stories that you read, you know, you only get just enough to kind of be interested about. But I've often said about a lot of their books right now is I don't think anything opens up until Episode 9 is over with. And they just right now they have to keep everything to the vest because we just don't know where we're going to end.
Well, I agree. And thank goodness, because that's where you're going to really see the meat. And I think that's why we're still really mining the original trilogy quite a bit. I mean, obviously, that's where most of the love for Star Wars comes from, or definitely where it originated from. There's no disputing that part of it. So, yeah, once Episode 9 comes out, I think basically then the floodgates are open and everything is fair game. So we'll see.
Well, there are these, yeah. It's these large swatches of time that they're not touching because I think they're playing around with plenty of anthology story ideas, you know? And that's the 10 years between Episode 1 and 2, the 19 years between 3 and 4. There are some large gaps of time there with characters that they're not touching because I think they want to be able to churn out movies every year for as long as they can do it.
Exactly.
Yeah, until the box office changes, there's no reason they'll stop. It's the same way with superhero movies right now.
Marvel and DC's quality has certainly gone to a whole other level thanks to Wonder Woman. So it'll be fun to see what happens. Jason, anything you want to plug before we let you go?
You can always find me over the Twitter at Star Wars TCE or my YouTube channel, StarWarsTCE.com. And that's where I do most of my canon musings when I'm not involved in, you know, the thousand other things I get myself involved in.
And please tell us, give a plug for your other podcast, too.
Oh, yeah. So if you head over to thechancecube.com, we talk about Star Wars Destiny, which is a Star Wars card and dice game. And we've got a great team over there writing blogs and podcasting every week. So if you're a gamer and want to check that out, we take the casual and competitive approach. So always happy to have new listeners.
One of the best card games that's been created in the last 20 years.
Wow. Ah.
I'm not kidding. It's. I, because of being in what we do in my industry, and I'm not trying to hold anybody up, but what we do in our industry, it's hard to find something that comes out that can kind of reinvent the wheel a little bit. And Destiny really plays off of a lot of stuff that I played when I was a kid and some of the current stuff, and they really make it high quality. And Fantasy Flight Games is phenomenal. So
that's very cool. I'm glad to hear that.
He validated me. I appreciate that.
No, I mean, it's something I've always been tempted. And then when you came on last time, Jason, and we're talking about, you know, the box set that Target had, and the cards look great too. And I know Zach talks about them a lot. And I mean, Zach knows his card games for sure. And you know, hey, I'm glad I introduced you to, because there you go.
It's a phenomenal game. The only thing that anybody negatively could say about it was early on they struggled getting it out to people. But there was such high demand, but it's every card game goes through that pain. So it's I can't wait to bring it back into the store. Hopefully we can draw ourselves a good community here.
That'd be good. If only you had somebody who could help drum up some business for you.
Gosh, I wish I knew a Star Wars podcast that was, you know, that would promote us a little bit.
Yeah, Jason, hey, is calling your name.
I am always available. We're always happy to support new communities.
We will send the Coffee with Kenobi Jet, Jason, and you can come on down and play some Forces of Destiny.
We have a jet?
Yeah. Do you know that?
No, I would have saved so much money if I'd known we had a jet.
No, it's actually Lisa's jet. She's the one who lets us borrow it, which is really nice of her.
Yes, and it is invisible. It's really cool.
Oh, thank you.
It's called Pug One, right? Isn't that the name?
Yes, Pug One.
That's good.
Oh, man.
Well, Jason, thank you as always, and we will have links to all of your great work in the show notes. And when we come back, we're going to have Tom on to do the news. This is Coffee with Kenobi.
Greetings. This is Obi-Wan Kenobi, and you're listening to Coffee with Kenobi.
Looking to catch up on the latest Star Wars books? Try listening to them on audio. Featuring sound effects, top-notch narrators, and music directly from the movies, Star Wars audiobooks are the definitive listening experience. From Han Solo to C-3PO to Admiral Ackbar, you'll recognize all of your favorite characters. Listen to movie tie-ins like Rogue One and The Force Awakens, to book titles such as Phasma and Battlefront II Inferno Squad, to classic audiobooks like William Shakespeare's Star Wars. With Star Wars audiobooks, you'll have plenty of Star Wars listening to keep you entertained. Visit penguinrandomhouseaudio.com/Star Wars for sample clips and to start listening now.
The Star Wars Digital Card Trader collecting app features incredible images from many aspects of the saga, including the original trilogy, the prequels, The Clone Wars, Rebels, The Force Awakens, and Rogue One. It's the quality you have come to expect from Topps. It's also easy to get into and really fun too. Your favorite Star Wars characters, scenes, and moments are in every pack. To get started, download the app for free from iTunes or Google Play, and then be sure to open the app each day for free credits to spend on card packs from the Cantina. Plus, if you can't get what you're looking for, there's a place to trade with your friends as you complete your Star Wars collection. And if you're an experienced collector, there are exclusive cards, special inserts, and autograph opportunities for you to enjoy. Don't worry about missing the cards and sets you want either, as you can sign up for notifications right on the app. The Star Wars Digital Card Trader collecting app from Topps can be downloaded for free from iTunes or Google Play. Be sure to download the app and start your collection today. The Star Wars Digital Card Trader collecting app from Topps is available now. And remember, these are the cards you're looking for.
It's news time here at Coffee with Kenobi. And Tom, you've got a myriad of stories for us tonight. What do you have?
I do. Star Tours at Disneyland and Disney World has announced that an action sequence based on Star Wars The Last Jedi is set to make its debut. The adventure will put fans in the middle of an epic battle on Crait, a planet first seen in the teaser of The Last Jedi at Star Wars Celebration.
Does it have a date when they're going to start incorporating that into Star Tours?
Let me see here.
Lisa, do you know?
I do not see a date.
There should be something in there about November. I think it starts, it like rolls out.
That's kind of what they did for when the Force Awakens, when they had the clip in there with Finn. And it was November because I was in Disney right before The Last Jedi came out and I got to see it. So this says Hollywood Studios, November 17th.
Yep, there it is.
November 22nd, and then Tokyo Disneyland, December 15th. So, yeah, it's going to be here less than a month. That's exciting. And I love Star Tours, and I didn't know what they were going to use as far as what scene, but that makes sense considering this looks like it's going to be sort of a more modern version of the pot races, but with a lot more teeth to it.
Have any of you been on a Star Tours before?
No.
I'm stuck here.
I've been on many, many, many times. In fact, I worked at that Star Wars gift shop at Hollywood Studios back when I worked there in the mid-90s, and I mean it's great. Have you been on it before?
I have not.
Oh man, well this'll be an interesting conversation.
Tell us about it.
You're walking through. You walk through at least the one at Disney World is much more detailed, as far as the opening queue. But you walk underneath an AT-AT, a scale AT-AT, and half of it looks like it's a prop, because the whole premise of Hollywood Studios when it first opened was that you're on a working movie set. And then you walk through the forest like an Ewok village, and then you wind around basically through the station, and you see the huge Star Tours speeder, and there's a life-size C-3PO and R2-D2 conversing, and then you just kind of wind around, and there's all these pieces of droids and different things as you go up these ramps, and there's silhouettes of people walking back and forth at a spaceport, because the premise is Star Tours is the place where you go to travel through the galaxy as a tourist. And then you get on, and then you go through two different worlds of Star Wars, and every time you go on, it's random. And there's over 30, 40, 50 different combinations altogether. And so this is cool. I like that the way that it's designed, you're able to continually update it. So this is, it's cool. No surprise, but it's nice to see an official announcement.
Very cool. Well, many of us are familiar with comic publisher IDW's Star Wars Adventures that released a couple months ago, and we are familiar with Star Wars Forces of Destiny. Well, how about a collaboration between the two for a creation called Star Wars Adventures Forces of Destiny? Why not? IDW will release a 5-week, 5-issue series of Star Wars Forces of Destiny starring our favorite heroines, Leia, Rey, Padme, Ahsoka, and Hera. But how about some new heroines from The Last Jedi, Rose and Paige? Not only will these books be about superstar characters, but how about this list of authors? Delilah S. Dawson, Elsa Chartier. Ooh, sorry if I messed up your last name on that one. Beth Rivas, Jody Hauser, and Devin Grayson. Or how about a series of interconnected variant covers that will combine to create a full Forces of Destiny image? Well, for more on these issues, check out the IDW website, or better yet, check out the Coffee with Kenobi website, where Lisa has created a book-by-book breakdown.
That's right. That's right. You have, and it's very helpful. You and I had talked about this for our Star Wars Reads Day show a few weeks ago, but this is when it was just announced with like less than 24 hours. So now we've had a little bit of time to digest it. And do we know yet? Will it basically be taking the series and just putting it in comic book form, or will it be all new stories?
I do not know.
Oh.
I was going back and looking at the IDW.
My connection got like interrupted.
Okay. I'm assuming that it's new stories. In fact, I think that sounds right.
I think so. Looking through the article on IDW, it appears that they're going to be unique, original stories.
Cool. Are we excited about this? Zach, are you hearing a lot of buzz about these?
This is one of those things that I have not heard much about. I'm not actually overly familiar with it. I haven't been asked for it.
I think that it's probably going to appeal more to younger audiences, at least the comic book will, which is great, I think.
Mm-hmm, that's fantastic. I will definitely look into it for the store.
Lisa, is this something that's high on your list?
Oh, yeah. I like what the IDW is doing with the Star Wars Adventures comics. Those are a lot of fun. So to get some Forces of Destiny comics, yeah, I'm all over that. I'm looking forward to that. That sounds like a good time.
And Tom, of course, with your girls, I'm sure this is something that's going to be super cool, too.
Oh, yeah. I know that they'll be really interested in it. And me as well. I love the Forces of Destiny shows. And I really like the way IDW makes their comics. I love the image and the artwork in it. It does seem to appeal more to a younger age, but I still think it's really neat and they're fun to read. I've enjoyed the Star Wars Adventure issues that I have, and this is going to be cool. I think it's just one more way of extending the story further, and I'm really intrigued as to what these five variant covers will look like. I love it when they do that. You can stretch it all the way across the table and see like one image. It's been a while since I've seen one of those.
Anything to get the kids reading again is what's most important. So, and it's something that we struggle with, trying to find a mass amount of books so that kids can have access to their favorite heroes of anything. So that's a good thing to have.
Absolutely. Well, let's stay in the world of comics then. Star Wars show announced today or this week that Benicio del Toro's character, DJ, in The Last Jedi will be getting his own Marvel comic that will outline his scoundrel ways leading up to Solo, a Star Wars story. The book will be written by Ben Acker and Ben Blacker with art by Kev Walker and cover art by Jeff DeCal. DJ number one is set to hit the shelves on January 31st, 2018.
Another one that I think sounds fascinating. What do you think, Tom?
Oh, I can't wait. I love comic books and I love the stories that they're telling with these. And I don't know, I'm not sure. I wasn't clear on the Star Wars show today. It sounds like this might be a solo shot, but definitely I think a limited series. But I was under the impression it's a solo shot. I don't know if any of you have heard otherwise.
I think it's a one shot as well. Didn't they talked about this at New York Comic Con? I thought they had. Or at least alluded to it, because I do seem to recall that it is a one shot.
Okay, but yeah, I think it's cool. I love these one shots and the way the writers of these approach them. It's such a cool character study, and we'll be a month in. We'll have 1 month relationship with this character DJ, and then get a little bit of background. And I think that the timing feels perfect.
Oh, I agree. It's only going to, again, it's just like we said, it's only going to add to the excitement. And, I'm interested to see this character. I just don't know what to think about him because he's talk about a mystery. So this will be fun.
Well, how about we wrap up with a final fun story. It's just around the corner. And StarWars.com's Jennifer Landa has some do-it-yourself costume ideas for kids, including The Last Jedi's BB-9E, a little guy Lando Calrissian outfit, and a Forces of Destiny Leia. These are super cute do-it-yourself costumes if you haven't seen them on StarWars.com. But what my question is, based on this, is did any of you have homemade Star Wars costumes as kids or even as adults?
Lisa, did you?
I had some homemade costumes when I was a kid, but no Star Wars. My mom did not make me Star Wars costumes. I wish that she had, but she didn't.
Well, no, it makes sense. I mean, I had those little cheap old plastic ones that you put the the mask on, which the string is fastened by, you know, two staples, and you're the whole time you're breathing through the little nose hole because
you mean the ones that are still happening nowadays?
Yeah, yeah. I think there's like a resurgence of them on either ThinkGeek or BoxLunch.com has like a kind of a resurgence of vintage Star Wars costumes. But they are adorable. I love that Lando one especially.
Yeah. Zach, did you have any homemades?
Oh, I had a Vader costume that they had some Star Wars stuff out, but we had to use like a stocking winter cap to use for like the full helmet with the plastic face. And we used to take our wiffle ball bats, the thin ones, and spray paint silver on the hilts to make them look like lightsabers.
That's awesome.
So, oh, yeah. Yeah. And then bloody our knuckles when we got in lightsaber fights. Don't try that at home.
To how many of you?
Well, I will say my grandma Counter, who actually took me to see Star Wars for the very first time in 1977, she made me a Jawa robe that was pretty awesome.
Do you have pictures of that by chance?
My mother probably does, but I don't think I do, no.
That's so great. Well, hey, that is a good note to end on. Tom, thanks a lot. We're going to go ahead and take a break, and when we come back, I will continue our CWK book study on Leia, Princess of Alderaan. This is Coffee with Kenobi.
Coffee, tea, or me, Obi-Wan Kenobi. It's Coffee with Kenobi.
Coffee with Kenobi was sponsored by Penguin Random House Audio. Looking to catch up on the latest Star Wars books? Try listening to them on audio. Featuring sound effects and music directly from the movies, Star Wars audiobooks are the definitive listening experience. From brand new audiobooks such as Phasma and Battlefront 2 Inferno Squad to our blockbuster movie tie-in editions, you'll have plenty to keep you entertained. Visit penguinrandomhouseaudio.com/Star Wars for sample clips and to start listening now. Coffee with Kenobi was also sponsored by the Star Wars Digital Card Trader Collecting app from Topps. If you love Star Wars and love the excitement of chasing your favorite Star Wars collectibles, the Star Wars Digital Card Trader Collecting app from Topps is for you. Download the free app from iTunes or Google Play and collect your favorite images from the classic 1977 Star Wars cards to the Clone Wars, Star Wars Rebels, The Force Awakens, Rogue One, and now The Last Jedi. Collect and trade with friends new and old through the Star Wars Digital Card Trader Collecting app from Topps. These are the cards you're looking for. On today's Coffee Chat, as I mentioned at the top of the show, we are going to continue the book study for Leia, Princess of Alderaan. Today's chapters 16 to 22. And while these sections don't necessarily have a lot of revelations, they do help us to get closer and closer to where we know Leia is going to be. When we start out early in this section, Mon Mothma and Leia have more than just a quick little interaction. They have kind of a long heart-to-heart. And on page 228, towards the end, Mon Mothma says, "More than anything else, I'm honored that you trusted me with this. The Empire's worked so hard to destroy our faith and one another through the galaxy. Only by daring to reach out will we ever make the allies we need." "Maybe someday I'll be one of those allies," Leia said. "You already are." So this is the kind of thing where Leia realizes again, and these signs keep pointing, that she does have something to offer. There are adults that are going to trust her, and that allies are the key. They're totally the key. She can't do this alone. And often in children's literature, and I'm putting this in because it's a young adult novel, and that's a good thing, by the way. I would say I practically prefer young adult novels because I think they are more bold in truths and they're able to educate our youth. And often in these books, you see the kids rebelling against parents. And I don't think that is a direct way of them saying, "Hey, don't listen to your parents." I think it is saying, "You must learn to think for yourself." And I think that's strong. So Kira and Leia spy through these little passageways where Brea and Bail are and listen in on their plans. So this is her way of getting him into her inner struggle and turmoil with the Empire and how she should handle this and how she should handle her relationship with her parents. So eventually we find out that Lolette, as we mentioned on the last show, that they were being penalized for not offering fuel to the Empire and they were being penalized to the extreme. But what they realize is Lolette didn't give them fuel because they didn't have it. So the Empire is very much impossible. I mean, we know this, but they are impossible to deal with. They are punishing planets when they know they didn't do anything wrong, and they know there's nothing they can do about it. This is the height of bullying, quite honestly. So we move on to 235, and this is where Leia kind of realizes what's going on, and she decides, you know what? Let's make a legal code. And she says, what we need to do is recommend new language for the legal code so no other world will make a mistake out of confusion, like Lolette did. The idea of recommending new legal code was novel for most of the apprentice legislatures and exciting, a hint at real authority. Immediately, people began discussing who might draft the language and how they'd present it. Even the ones who wanted to make an example of Lolette were eager to establish a new regulation that would turn their severity into law. And this is the important part right here. It occurred to Leia that Lolette would almost certainly be punished anyway. Whatever new law they proposed would have to be draconian in its harshness, requiring every plan to deplete its own emergency stores at the whim of any Imperial commander who came by, regardless of genuine need. But they bought Lolette a little time, a chance to maybe come up with sources of funding to deal with the eventual penalty. Not much help, but something. This is again where Leia is honing her skills of politics, of rhetoric, which she is absolutely a pro at, a total champ, and being able to circumvent what the Empire does for the greater good. So now, then we move on, and Ameline and Leia have this really interesting conversation while they're doing some weird sort of Cirque du Soleil exercise thing where they're floating from scarves. It was a bit confusing, but ultimately they start to talk about happiness. And Leia says, can it be morally right to feel happy when there's so much injustice all around us? And Ameline replies, of course, happiness is our moral imperative. That sounds, Leia actually got into the backbend, but it felt like her abdominal muscles were pressing in breath from her, like hedonism. Not at all. Lifting herself upright again with damnable ease, Ameline said, great evil can only be fought by the strong. People need spiritual fuel as much as they need food, water, and air. Happiness, love, joy, hope. These are the emotions that give us the strength to do what we need to do. A really beautiful passage right there, intermixed with me reading the narrative of them doing the Cirque du Soleil stuff. But I think that's just so beautiful and relevant, not only for this book, but just for our own times too, the idea that mind, body, and soul must work together. And we start to see that as we move along closer. The Empire lost a stolen medical frigate. When I say lost, the burgeoning rebellion stole it. And that's a huge coup. This is a gigantic ship, gigantic, and it just shows that they're getting more powerful, the rebels, I mean, more brave, more brazen, and more capable. And I think it scares the Empire because they do something really horrible, which we'll talk about real, real soon. But I want to turn your attention to page 259. There is an interesting situation that happens between Keir and Leia. They're doing more tests, and they find themselves on sort of like this rock crevice, almost like they're mountain climbing. And Keir accidentally breaks his little force field that they wear, their impact resistance, and he's in danger of dying. And her field generator, it's the field generator, that's the actual technical term, I found it on the book. But she's still got hers working, and at first she's scared, but then she looks down and realizes, here's what it says. Yet after that first rush of terror, her mind cleared. Resolve found focused her better than anything else. I'm coming down for you. So she comes down and she saves him. And something pretty wonderful and fascinating happens that I haven't heard people talking about yet. And maybe it's because they are waiting until more people read this book. But when Leia is about to, they basically have to swing on one rope to another side. And he has to hold on to her, in essence. And listen to this description right here. I think it will blow your mind. Leia felt centered in a way that she had before. Her nervousness fell away, and she took a deep breath. It wasn't just an inhalation. It felt as though she were taking in the sense, the moisture, becoming part of the planet itself. Keir asked, are you sure? Yeah, Leia was surprised at how much she meant it. I have a good feeling about this. Okay. One. She shut her eyes, breathed in again. It seemed to her as she could feel the shape and dimension of the rock around them, that she knew the location of every spar and outcropping as automatically as if they were a part of her. If that doesn't sound like the Force and being in tune with the Force, I don't know what is. And as far as I can recall, this is the first time it's been overtly stated that Leia is in commune with the Force. And I think that's been hinted to and alluded to often, especially in The Empire Strikes Back and Jedi. But this is pretty amazing. And since this is part of the book that's, you know, Journey to the Last Jedi, I wonder what that means. So we'll kind of stop. I don't want to speculate too much, but I think it's really worth talking about. So then, as I mentioned previously, this when the medical frigate was stolen, they decide, you know what, we need to make an example. So Tarkin calls this emergency meeting of the Senate, and he says basically that we think this happened within the planet Christophsis, which people know from the Clone Wars. And this is excerpts of what Tarkin says to everyone. These leaders chose to reward our generosity with rank and gratitude. Therefore, we have made an example of these leaders. I should say former leaders. While the ex-senators and territorial supervisors have been jailed for terms of 4 years or more, the prime minister has been tried, convicted, and executed for treason. Furthermore, his home city of Toffin, found to be the center of this activity, has already been pacified. So I don't know how they did that. I mean, we've seen Rogue One. We know what the Death Star can do. But this is like Nazi Germany. I mean, this is eradication. And it's a prelude, a harbinger of what's to come to Alderaan, of course. And speaking of that, Leia and Bail, towards the end of this section, have an interesting conversation where he finally takes her into the fold, not officially, but you can definitely tell this is where their comfort and trusting one another and him bringing her into this entire thing is starting to happen. He basically says, look, I need you in the apprentice legislature. And she thinks that's a waste. And he says, no, how do you think I've been able to do all these things? I make connections with Mon Mothma in the Senate. The Senate may seem useless, and it doesn't seem as powerful as it used to be, because it's not. But that's where you make connections. That's where you make alliances. You need to do the politics within the politics and make friends that will become allies and potential future senators, so you can begin to make a difference too. So Leia's got a new mission, and again, embracing this politics in a way never before seen officially. Because now she's going to be a full-on rebel, in my opinion. Pretty wonderful stuff. Not a lot that happens, but the things that do happen, I think, pack a punch. There's a little scene where Keir and Leia have their first kiss, and she's all gaga over him. So there's your little romance there. And it's very interesting, because I think that's going to show... I mean, this is basically her struggling with this, as her deciding, is it okay for me to be happy? And not in a self-mutilating way, but more of a like, I have more responsibility than myself. I got to think of other people, which is heroism and selflessness at its finest. But you can't help but think only Han Solo can help her see that you can have both at the same time, because obviously they are meant to be together. So I wonder what will happen with these two. Obviously, they're not meant to be together, but time will tell. So for our next time, we will read chapters 23 to 29. We are well over halfway in the book. And I definitely want to hear more about what you think. Please send in your thoughts, emails, and ideas about this book. And I will be happy to share them on the next show. So we will take our last break. This is Coffee with Kenobi.
Coffee, tea, or me, Obi-Wan Kenobi. It's Coffee with Kenobi.
Coffee with Kenobi was sponsored by Penguin Random House Audio. Looking to catch up on the latest Star Wars books? Try listening to them on audio. Featuring sound effects and music directly from the movies, Star Wars audiobooks are the definitive listening experience. From brand new audiobooks such as Phasma and Battlefront 2 Inferno Squad to our blockbuster movie tie-in editions, you'll have plenty to keep you entertained. Visit penguinrandomhouseaudio.com/Star Wars for sample clips and to start listening now. Coffee with Kenobi was also sponsored by the Star Wars Digital Card Trader Collecting App from Topps. If you love Star Wars and love the excitement of chasing your favorite Star Wars collectibles, the Star Wars Digital Card Trader Collecting App from Topps is for you. Download the free app from iTunes or Google Play and collect your favorite images from the classic 1977 Star Wars cards to the Clone Wars, Star Wars Rebels, The Force Awakens, Rogue One, and now The Last Jedi. Collect and trade with friends new and old through the Star Wars Digital Card Trader Collecting App from Topps. These are the cards you're looking for.
Listening to Coffee with Kenobi, you are the podcast you're looking for. This is... yes.
before we get to email, I want to thank our CWK sponsors, Penguin Random House Audio, and the Star Wars Digital Card Trader Collecting App from Topps. Please support them the way they support our podcast, and remember to listen to new and archived shows of Coffee with Kenobi wherever you listen to podcasts, including iTunes, Google Play, Spotify, iHeartRadio, YouTube, Player FM, our Coffee with Kenobi website, www.coffeewithkenobi.com, or wherever you enjoy listening to your favorite shows. And if you listen to the show through iTunes, please leave us a review. We are also on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Pinterest, and Tumblr, and would love for you to check us out there. Be sure to listen to our CWK family of shows too, including Legends Library, Rebels Reactions, Comics with Kenobi, and Lattes with Leia. A big thank you to Lisa Dillard and Zach Kalina for joining us today. Where can listeners get in touch with both of you if they want to ask you a question or just say hello?
Well, I'm on Twitter and Facebook and Instagram, all under JediPug1. I'm not very imaginative in my screen names there. Or you can contact me at LisaD@CoffeeWithKenobi.com. I also contribute to the websites The Bearded Trio and Geek Universal from time to time. So that's where I'm at.
And as we said at the top of the show and throughout, and it just can't be emphasized enough, Lisa is our MVP and a major reason for the success of our show. So it is just so nice to have you on. And I know your CWK family has been excited and looking forward to hearing from you. So thank you again.
Oh, thank you for having me, Dan.
You bet. Anytime. And Zach, what about you?
Well, you can check us out on Facebook. Look for Zeke's Comics and Games, Washington, Illinois. We post all the time about the things that we run in the shop, and you can check out all of our different Facebook groups with our various gaming communities. You can also email me at ZekesCG@Hotmail.com if you have any questions. And then you're welcome to check out our website, ZekesCG.com as well.
Very good. And I've been in a lot of comic book stores in my lifetime, and yours is the coolest. It's the nicest. It's the best run. So, and you've always got some fun things to say, so I appreciate that.
I try to be as engaging as I possibly can be, whether it's popular or not.
Well, there you go. And I want to thank each and every one of you for listening to and supporting Coffee with Kenobi and for contributing to Star Wars Conversation. We will be back next week with two new co-hosts and more Star Wars talk. And if you are participating in the CWK book study, be sure to read chapters 23 to 29 of Leia, Princess of Alderaan for next week. This is the podcast you're looking for.
This podcast is not endorsed by the Walt Disney Company or Lucasfilm Limited. It is intended for entertainment and informational purposes only. The official Star Wars website can be found at www.starwars.com. Star Wars, all names, sounds, and any other Star Wars related items are registered trademarks and or copyrights of Disney and their respective trademark and copyright holders. All original content of this podcast is the intellectual property of Coffee with Kenobi unless otherwise indicated.
This is the podcast you're looking for.
There's no one here.